Today's shiurim Sechta Vavasra Daf Kuf Mem Beis, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Beis on an Aleph at the top line. We learned in the previous shiur that Rav Huna and Rav Nachman were having a discussion where Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna said that Hamazakal Uber, if somebody gives a gift to an Uber, a fetus who has not yet been born, the halach is that according to Rav Huna, like Kana, it's not a valid kinyan, given that the Uber is not in existence, the Uber has not been born yet. And the question that was asked was, how could Rav Huna say that a mezakel Uber like Kana, when we learned in our Mishnah a case where a father said that if I have a son, when he's born, he should get a mana. When I have a daughter, when she's born, she should get 200 mana. And the Mishnah clearly indicated that that was a valid declaration, even though when he made that statement, the child had not yet been born. So how can we reconcile our Mishnah with Rav Huna's opinion that I'm a zakel uber like Kana? And the Gemara, at the end of our previous shiur, attempted a number of approaches on how to reconcile these two, the Mishnah and this opinion, unsuccessfully. So the Gemara contrives with another approach. V'leimele, why don't we say that our Mishnah is referring to a situation l'chishetelid, that the kinyan, that the gift will only be valid, will only be effective after the child is born. And since it will only be effective after the child is born, therefore, we don't have a problem of a davar shloi b'olam. Even though I did see Rishonim that suggest that we learned in our previous shiur that even according to a mayor who is of the opinion that Adam Makna davar shloi b'olam, our Mishnah cannot be understood according to his opinion, because Ramei was only referring to the object that was being transferred wasn't in existence. But if the recipient wasn't in existence, there Ramei will agree that it's not effective. Chachamim are even more stringent than Ramei. And the Chachamim opinion is, ain't all the makdud of a shalom b'laylam. So there are Rishonim that suggest that our Gemara that is saying that l'chishetelid is a valid kinyan is only according to the opinion of Rameya. That means, if we combine Rameya's standard opinion that Adam Makna Dovah Shaloi Ba'al Olam, combined with the fact that we'll say that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of l'chishetelid, that's where Rameya will hold that's a valid kinyan. But Chachamim will hold l'chishetelid is not good enough. There are other Rishonim that say that this tariff that the Gemara is suggesting has nothing to do with the machloikis of Rameya and the Rabbanan of Adam Makna Dovah Shaloi Ba'al Olam and Adam Makna Dovah Shaloi Ba'al Olam. But the question that Mefarshim ask is that when we learned our Mishnah, we discussed, is our Mishnah referring to a Shemira or a Bari? And if we explain that our Mishnah is referring to a Shemira, so how could this kinyan be valid? We're saying that the kinyan is only valid after the child is born. By the time the child is born, the shchimera is no longer alive. So some Rishonim suggest that when we say divrei shchimera kiksuvim kumsurim dami, and the kinyan is effective after he passes away, we will say it's effective retroactively from when he was alive, and therefore we combine the birth of the child with the time that the Shchivera made this declaration that it should be considered a valid kinyan. Furthermore, the Rishonim argue when our Gemara says that our Mishnah now we're going to explain is referring to situation l'chishetelid, the Rishonim debate, does the person who makes this declaration in our Mishnah, the father making this declaration have to expressly say l'chishetelet, that the kinyan is only valid l'chishetelet? Or do we say that since the kinyan cannot be valid any other way, as we have been explaining, even without the father expressly saying l'chishetelet, we interpret that's what he means, and that he means that the kinyan should only be effective l'chishetelet. However, now we have successfully explained our Mishnah. So we need to understand, in the previous year, Rav Huna made a strong statement. Mishnayseinu eini yodea mishana. I don't know who's the Tan of our Mishnah. I can't understand our Mishnah. But now, our Mishnah is very understandable, because our Mishnah is referring to a situation of l'chisha teilid. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna l'tamei, Rav Huna follows his opinion that we find Rav Huna's opinion elsewhere. Dom Rav Huna, af l'chisha teilid loikana. That would not be effective. And there's a machloikus rishonim how to understand this opinion of Rav Huna. That we're going to learn Rav Huna holds l'chisha teilid is not effective, whereas Rav Nachman holds it is. The Rashbam has a very simple way of explaining the machloikus. Everybody agrees that making a kinyan l'dover to a recipient shelo bala olam is not a valid kinyan. The machloikus here between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna is an uber considered l'dover shelo bala olam, where Rav Huna holds it is not considered l'dover shelo bala olam, and therefore it's not a valid kinyan. And Rav Nachman holds it is considered somewhat of a davar shaloi bala olam, and therefore it's a valid kinyan. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that both Rav Nachman and Rav Huna will agree that a uber is a davar shaloi bala olam that hasn't been created. The machloikis, according to Tosfos, is a fundamental question in how to understand the deficiency of a davar shelo bala olam. That we know that the halacha is ein adam makdil davar shelo bala olam. We discussed this earlier in our shiur. And Rav Huna and Rav Nachman debate what is considered a bigger problem. Rav Nachman holds that the object I'm being makna is lo bala olam, hasn't come into existence. Says Rav Nachman, that is a serious problem. But if the recipient is lo bala olam, Rav Nachman doesn't consider that such a serious issue. Whereas Rav Huna is of the exact opposite opinion. Rav Huna's opinion is that if the item is lo bala olam, that is not such a serious issue. And that's why we find throughout Shas that actually Rav Huna's opinion is that one can make a kinyan of deka l'peirosof, selling a tree for the fruit that will emerge from the tree, even though those fruit don't exist. Rav Huna isn't specifically concerned with that, because Rav Huna says as long as the tree is here, it's good enough. Why? Because Rav Huna's opinion is that he's much more lenient when we look at the object, whereas Rav Huna is much more stringent when we look at the recipient. And therefore, in the case that we're discussing, where the item is with a recipient, as we're now saying, everybody agrees that an uber is somebody that's lo bala olam. There, Rav Huna will take a stricter approach and say that it's not a valid kinyan. Damar Rav Nachman, as we find this machloikis, that according to Rav Nachman, hamazak al uber loikana, making a kinyan just for an uber itself, everybody will agree is invalid. But if you say l'chishetelet, or if that's what the kinyan will be about, it will be valid. Versus Rav Huna Amar, af l'chishetelet loikana. And for the various explanations that we just gave. Rav Sheshes Amar, Rav Sheshes is the most lenient. And he says, echetzeh v'echetzeh kana. Rav Sheshes says that even a kinyan to an uber who hasn't been born, even if you didn't say l'chishetelet, is a valid kinyan. Amar Rav Sheshes, says Rav Sheshes, menam manilo. From where do I take this lenient opinion? The Tanya. The Brisa says, ger. We know that halacha is that, as we learned in the previous parak, every Jew has a yairish. Every born Jew has somebody who will be his Yoyrish. It may take a few generations to find such a relative, but we will find such a relative. A ger, on the other hand, since we know that Halacha is ger shen is gayer kekotin shenayla dami, it's very possible that a ger should have no relatives. So as we've discussed many times previously, since it's possible that a ger has no relatives, what happens with his estate? The first person who zaycha, the first person who makes a kinyan in his estate, becomes the owner of that estate. And therefore, says the Brisa, ger shemes, if a ger passes away, u'bizbizu Yisrael nechasov, and Yisraelim went and took ownership of that estate, and then v'shamu, they become aware, sheyeshli ben, that the ger does have a son, or that his wife was pregnant, they have to return what they took, because it wasn't that the estate of the ger was hefker, because he had these relatives. Hechziru hakol. So if they return what they took, then they become aware shemes benoy, that his son had passed away, or that his wife had miscarried, and therefore he has no yorshim. Hechzik b'shniya, whoever does a new act of kinyan, kana, will be the owner of the ger's estate. But rishayna, whoever did an act of kinyan originally, the original people who did an act of kinyan, like kana, will not be the owners of this estate. Now, what was one of the cases that the Braisa discussed? The Braisa discussed a situation where the woman was pregnant, and then she miscarried. But if she's only pregnant, so her child is only an Uber. How could the Uber become the owner of this estate? If we're going to say that Uber like honey, that a fetus can't become the owner of an estate, why does the Braisa say that when she miscarries, then a new act of kinyan is required? The first act of kinyan was a valid kinyan. And as the Rashbam points out, the Gemara could have actually asked the question from the first words of the Braisa, from the Reish of the Braisa, where the Braisa says, Chayovim lahachzer. And the question is, why do they have to give it back? The Uber isn't an owner. But as the Rashbam points out, the Gemara's question is a much stronger question if we ask it from the Sefer, where the Sefer says that a new act of kinyan is required, and the first act of kinyan is a totally meaningless kinyan. That's why the Gemara's question is a much stronger question, and that's why the Gemara chose to ask from that part of the Braisa. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, there's no raya from there. Because Yerusha haba me'ele ashani. There we're talking about a Yerusha. And since we're talking about a Yerusha, Yerusha, even though normally an Uber is not one who could be participant in a kinyan, when it comes to Yerusha, and we've discussed this concept previously, when it comes to Yerusha, Yerusha comes automatically, and therefore even though this fetus is only an Uber, he can be part of a kinyan. It's interesting to note, the Rambam, in quoting this situation that we refer to in the Braisa, paskens that even if the baby who was born, this baby was born prematurely in its eighth month, he will inherit his parents, even though such a baby in times of the Gemara was unable to survive. The Ravid and many other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. And they say that only a viable baby is capable of inheriting, but a premature baby in the eighth month doesn't inherit since it's not viable. The Tzois brings a raya to the opinion of the Rambam that the Braisa we just learned says that a person who seized the possession of the ger's property, the state of the ger, while the wife was pregnant, doesn't acquire the property even if ultimately the pregnancy was aborted and there was no live birth, clearly indicating that even a non-viable fetus is capable of inheriting. The Nesivus, however, in defense of derived, says that a baby born prematurely in the eighth month is incapable of inheriting because it's destined to die and therefore it's considered a non-viable entity. On the other hand, a regular fetus is assumed to be viable because since most pregnancies result in a healthy birth. So, even though, unfortunately, that pregnancy ended up with a miscarriage, we don't say that that fetus was never viable to begin with. Rather, we say that a problem developed at a later stage in the pregnancy. And therefore, interestingly, says the Nesivus in explaining the opinion of the Ravid, the Uber, who ultimately didn't make it, but was an Uber when these people tried to make a kinyan in his father the Ger's property, will prevent that kinyan from being effective. Whereas an 8-month-old child in time Chazal, who's clearly non-viable, will not have that ability. Rava has a different explanation. Shani Hasam Derufim Refaim B'Yudayim Mikara. He explains as follows. The whole point of kinyan, and we've discussed this concept many times, is to show Gemiras Das, to show a real act of kinyan. When somebody, in the case that we just discussed, makes a kinyan and the mother is possibly pregnant, and so the situation is as follows. There's a ger who passes away. People know the halacha that the nichsei hager might be hefker, and they don't really know, did the ger leave halachic yarshim? Did the ger not leave halachic yarshim? So what they do is, the first thing they do is they go make a kinyan. And then we'll see if he didn't leave, if he left yarshim, of course I won't take something that doesn't belong to me. If he didn't leave yarshim, then my act of kinyan was a valid act. So therefore, anybody who ever does such an act of kinyan, unless he knows for sure the status of this ger and his family, is always doing it sort of rafim biyadeh. He's not quite certain. For a kinyan to be considered a valid kinyan, it has to have real knowledge. And therefore, says Rava, in the case of the Braisa, since this person's original act of taking possession was a weak act, because he didn't really know if he deserves it or not, that's why it's not considered valid. But it has nothing to do with an Uber being kinder or not. This concept of something not being certain, and therefore puts everything into question, I actually saw as relevant in a number of areas of halacha. One question I saw is as follows. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses this question. There was someone who was a shatchan for a couple, for a boy and a girl, and it didn't work out. And the couple didn't get married. After a while, another shatchan came and tried to get the shidduch going, and he was actually successful. And Baruch Hashem, this couple got engaged. And the original shatchan now comes and says, I was the first shatchan, and I deserve shatchanis. The couple, the second shatchan, say, no, the second shatchan did all the work, and he's the one that's deserving the shatchanis. What is the din? So Yitzchak Zilberstein paskins that every shatchan, as he approaches making a match, recognizes that his position is a weak position. Because just because you make a suggestion between a boy and a girl, we know that that doesn't necessarily mean that this couple is going to get engaged. And since his original involvement was Rafya B'Yodayu, the concept that Rava just taught us in the Gemara, therefore it's considered a weak relationship and he will not be entitled to Shatchanus. But then I saw a very interesting question. We know we have to say Krishma every morning, and there's a Zman Krishma, and sometimes people daven in shul, this particularly comes up Shabbos and Yontif, and they're not sure if they're going to say Krishma B'tzibur before the Zman Krishma, which certainly the Poskim teach us it's preferable to say Krishma B'tzibur with the brachas. That's the preferable way to say, but of course it's better to say Krishma before the Zman, it's a mitzvah to say Daraisa, than to miss it altogether, because I don't know if I'm going to make it by the time the shul, by the time Minyan and Shul gets there. So what people do is they say Krishma before they go to shul, before they daven, and they make it tonight. They say, if we're not going to make it by the time the Zman comes, so we're going to make Mrs. Krishma now. If we'll make it by the time in shul, the shul makes it on time, so certainly we want to be kind of the mitzvah with the tzibur, with the brachas, and now we're just reading a parasha in the Torah. So the question that comes up, I ask the Paiskim, we just learned for something to have validity, it can't be rafi biyadayu, it can't be weak, and this is certainly a situation where it's rafi biyadayu, where it's certainly not sure if it's going to be what's going to be. So I saw a very interesting answer to this question. Otherwise, how can we ever make this tonight? I saw a very interesting answer. The halacha in many mitzvahs, according to some opinion in all mitzvahs, is mitzvah tzrichas kavana. If you really want to do a mitzvah properly, you have to have kavana. What would be the halacha if we pass a mitzvah tzrichas kavana and somebody did a mitzvah without kavana? Is he mekayim the mitzvah or not? For example, if we hold that sitting in the sukkah requires kavana, and somebody makes and sits in the sukkah without kavana, he certainly was mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. He didn't do it the preferable way, and therefore, explained the Mefarshim, when it comes to mitzvahs, where you mekayim the mitzvah always, so therefore the tanai could be valid. However, by kinyonim, as I said a moment ago, a kinyon requires gemiras das. Without gemiras das, we don't have a kinyon. And therefore, Rava successfully says that in that case it was Rafi and Biyadayu, and that's why it wasn't a valid kinyon. My Benayu, what is the practical difference between Abai and Rava? Where does the difference become obvious? Answers the Gemara, Ikka Benayu Shamba Shemes Feloimes. They heard that the fetus had died, and actually he had not yet died when they made the original chazaka, vach kachmes, and then afterwards he died. So according to Rava, the original kinyan, since it was performed on a state of a ger who died without yarshim, would be a valid kinyan. However, according to Abaya, that says an uber does kaina, so the existence of the uber of the time of the original kinyan invalidates that kinyan, no matter what they were thinking at that time. Toshma. So again, we're trying to find the proof to Rav Sheshis' opinion that it makes no difference. An uber always has the ability to be kinyan. Toshma. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Masech Tanida. Tinik ben Yomechad, a child that's one day old, Noichel Manchel, has the ability to Yarshin and has the ability to give over. Uber ben Yomechad, in, it seems that strictly if the child was already born, Uber loy, but if he's an Uber, he doesn't have this ability. So clearly, a question on Rav Sheshis' opinion. Answers the Gemara, Ham Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis, explaining that Mishnah, that it shouldn't be a refutation of his opinion, explains, Hamar Rav Sheshis, Noichel b'nichsei eim, l'hanchel l'achim n'av. What the Mishnah says is as follows, and we discussed this case previously. Yaakov was married to Rachel and Leah. Yaakov had sons Reuven and Shimon from Leah, and he has a son Yosef from Rachel. And let's say Rachel has assets. Yosef, if he dies, a normal situation, Yosef is Rachel's Yoyush. if Yosef dies before, after his mother died, and he yashin from her, and then he dies without children, his paternal brothers, Reuven and Shimon, are his yashin. But let's say Yosef died before Rachel, so we learned in our previous parak that a brother, paternal brothers, don't yashin their brother's Yerusha that he got from his mother. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Dafk ben Yom Echad. Only if the Uber was born. That's when his brothers will yashin. Aval Uber, loy. If he's only a fetus, and he died before his, and the fetus was miscarried and died before its mother, then his brothers won't yashin. My Tama, to whom my inspiration? Because the Mar is assuming a pregnant woman dies, the fetus she's carrying will always die first. And as we learned, and as I just explained, if the fetus died before the mother, so the fetus never became the Yerush, and a fetus doesn't become a Yerush, an unborn person, unborn brother, doesn't become a Yerush, that his paternal brothers should be his Yerushim. So our Gemara just established that a fetus always dies before its mother. However, Tosfos qualifies that and says that's only in a situation where it died in a natural death. If the mother and the fetus died, we both a natural death. We say the mother died for that the fetus died before the mother. However, if the mother was Rahman Slam murdered and then her fetus died also, there it's not necessarily the case that the fetus will die before the mother. The question that comes up, obviously, is that let's say Rahman al-Tzlan, we have a mother who dies, a pregnant woman who dies on Shabbos, and she's carrying a fetus. The question is, are we allowed, are the doctors, are we allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to try to save that unborn fetus? If according to Al Gemara, the fetus always dies first, we should not be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. There's no point in being Mechal Shabbos because the fetus is certainly not going to survive. The Pesach Ma'ariv says, of course, the halacha is that we should try, if we think that the fetus can make it, so save this unborn fetus. And how do we reconcile that with what we just learned in our Gemara? So there are a number of answers. Obviously, if the mother didn't die a natural death, she was murdered, she was stabbed, of course it would be different. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that this thing that the fetus always dies before the mother in a natural death is only a situation where the fetus wasn't yet neker havlad, hasn't begun its emerging. But if it began coming out, then the fetus could survive or certainly die after its mother. Since we can never know for sure if it was or wasn't neker havlad, and it's a shaila of Sofek Nefashis, and we know that Allah is Sofek Nefashis Lahakal, therefore we could try to save the fetus even though the mother died a natural death first. Also the Ritva says that even though Al Gemara says that the mother, that the fetus always dies before the mother, says the Ritva, that's only Roiv, that's only in most situations. But there is possibility of a Miut where even though the mother died a natural death, the fetus will die after her. And again, when we're speaking about a situation of Sofek Nefashis, we do everything to try to save the fetus, and that's why even on Shabbos we could be Mechal Shabbos for a fetus whose mother died a natural death. Also interestingly, I saw a very interesting, there's a minig in many communities, that Hasidic communities particularly, that women do not go out to the cemetery by a funeral. So the Pesach Ma'ariv say, why don't they go out to the cemetery? Because the Malach HaMavis is there. That's why when the person who died a natural death was, so to speak, killed by the Malach HaMavis, and women are more susceptible and therefore they shouldn't go there. So the Pesach Ma'ariv suggests that's only if the person who died died a natural death. But let's say the person who passed away before, from not a natural death, like Tosfos and Al Gemara made a distinction between somebody who died in a natural death versus somebody who died versus somebody who died by being murdered. It could be somebody who was murdered, their women, so the Malach HaMamis isn't necessarily there, their women could go out to the funeral. Ask the Gemara, is this indeed the case? Lememra, the Humayis Bereisha, that the fetus always dies first. For Hava Uvda, Uperchis Tlosa Persoi, the fetus still thrashed around, convulsed, 3 times after the mother passed away. Answers the Gemara, Amar Mabar Avashi, Midah Dehava Zanav HaTlosh Mefaches Es. It's no different than a tail of a lizard when it's killed, it still convulses, but it's certainly dead. Says the Gemara, Amar Mabar Eder of Yosef Mishmeid Rav Amar, Loimit gives a different explanation of the Mishnah in Masecht and Nida, that it could be consistent with the opinion of Rav Sheshes, and actually he says it here in the name of Rava, even though it seems that Rava had a different explanation, as we learned on Amun Aleph, but the Rashbam says this is common to find in the Gemara, that the same Amoira could say different explanations. Loimer, what it comes to teach us is Shemat Bechel Bechayra. V'dafka, when does a fetus have the ability to be Mat Bechel Bechayra? Ben Yoim Echad. Only when he came to being born. And as the Rishonim say, it's not after Yom Echad, it's even 1 hour, but he has to be born. Avul Uber, if the fetus never got born, loy, that it doesn't affect the Chel B'chayra. My Tama, what's the difference if he was born or not? Because the Pasuk says, V'yolda Omer Rachmana. The Torah says that V'yolda loy, only a child that was born affects the chelik b'chayra. Dama ma'abereder of Yosef Mishmei de Rava, ben shenoy l'acha misis aviv, a child that was born after the father passed away, ainam ma'at b'chelik b'chayra, doesn't affect the chelik b'chayra. My tama, v'yol d'loy am rachmana, the Torah says only if the child was born. Which means is as follows. If Yaakov died, and Yaakov left an estate worth 12 mana to son Reuven Shimon, and he has a child that was already born, Levi. Even though Levi dies later, so let's think about it. If we would not take Levi into consideration, so we only have Reuven and Shimon, Reuven being a Bechor, the father left an estate of 12 mana, so Reuven would get 8, and Shimon would get 4. Now that Levi was born, Reuven will get 6, and Shimon and Levi will each get 3. Now, when Levi dies, he died that day, so his 3 mana Yerusha are inherited. Obviously he didn't have children, so they're inherited by his brothers Reuven and Shimon, so each one of them will get 1.5. Thus, Reuven will end up with 7.5, and Shimon will end up with 4.5, instead of Reuven getting 8, and Shimon getting 4. So they each get, Reuven gets a little less, and Shimon gets a little more. However, if we say, as we just learned, that if he was, now we learned another din, that if he was born only, however, he was born and he even could survive, but he was only born after his father passed away, the calculation will be as follows. Reuven, the Bechor, gets 8, and Shimon gets 4, even though that's if Levi doesn't survive. Even if Levi does survive, explained the Rishonim, what will happen is Reuven will get his 8, and then the rest, Reuven will get his share, and then Shimon and Levi will divide the rest. Because since this fetus, this Uber wasn't yet born when the father died, he cannot affect the shear of the Bukhar. Besurah mas nahachi. In Surah they learned that that's what that Mishnah in Masechet Neda is coming to teach us. However, Mepedisa mas nahachi. Amar Reder of Yosef Mishmei Derava. Bukhar shenoy l'achem isas aviv. If a Bukhar was born after his father passed away, ain't a noitel pishnaim. He's not entitled to pishnaim. My tama, why? Because Yakar Amar Rechmana. The Torah says regarding Bechaira Yakar, for a lace of the Yakar, when the father isn't here to be able to identify this child as his Bechar. And the halacha is Bechal Hanin Lishni, Dabar Mabarei Ravashi, Shemin Rav. The halacha is like both, that a firstborn born after the father's death doesn't take a double portion. And of course, Rishayim ask, if how could you have a firstborn born after the father's death that should be a Bechar? After the father died and he's the Bechar, he must be the only child. So Rishayim give an example that he had, the father died and then he had twins. So, and we're learning now that that Bechar is not considered a Bechar. And they're learning another halacha that a son born after his father's death doesn't reduce the portion of the Bechar. The Ravid says we have two separate psukim. We have a pasuk of Yaldaloi and we have a pasuk of Yakar. And these are two separate psukim. The din that a Bechar doesn't affect, his shear doesn't get affected by the birth of the Uber is dependent on Leda. We have to look when his birth was. Was his birth before the father's death or his birth after his father's death? Regarding the question of the Bechar himself, that's a different question, and that depends in Yakar. And the father had to see the child. Of course, the Rishonim explained, it doesn't mean that the father actually had to see the child. The father had to potentially be able to see the child. And once the father potentially could have been able to see the child, even though the child was born before the father passed away, but he never actually saw him, that will still be certainly a valid situation for, that will be a valid situation that he should be considered a Bechar. In fact, the Rishonim seem to say that if the child was born, most of his forehead emerged before most of his forehead emerged before his father passed away, he certainly will be considered a Bechar. Amar of Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamzakal Uber Lekana. If somebody is Mzakal for an Uber, it's not a valid Kenyan. Vimtai Mishnah Seinu. Are you going to ask, our Mishnah says that you can't be Mzakal for an Uber? Our Mishnah is a different situation. Hoyal Vidatal Shlodim Kroivel Etzabanoi. The person has a special relationship with his son, and that's why it's different. And as the Rishonim explain, again, a concept that I spoke about earlier, Kenyan, this is the Rashbam's approach, Kenyan depends on Gemira Stas. And Gemira Stas you have always when it comes to your children. And therefore, even though normally Hamzakal Uber like Kana, if he's your son, it's different. The Ramban, the Ran, the Ritva explain that our Mishnah is referring to Shchimera. So Shchimera, we're always concerned that he shouldn't be adversely affected if his declaration will not be effective. It could adversely affect him. And that's why Chazal was specifically makel by Shchimera, even though he's giving it to an Uber, that it's a valid Kenyan. The Shach has a different explanation. The Shach says that a person, when he wants to make a Kenyan with his son, wants to be done in the most effective manner, and therefore, even though the child is an Uber, here he does it in a way that it should be effective. How does he do it in a way that's effective? He makes it that the Kenyan should only be chal after he's born, or that somebody should be holding on to it on behalf of him, on behalf of the child, until the child is actually born, because that's part of being close to your children, that you want your children to have it, and you make it in a way that the kinyan should be effective. Chanabadatah, Amr Lai Shmuel Rav Chanabadatah, Puk Isli Beyasara, he said, bring me 10 people, Veimelach, and I will tell you in front of them, Hamzaklu Bekonah. As the Rishonim point out, we have a precedence for this. When boys wanted to announce that his marriage to Rus was halachically acceptable, so he went and called 10 people, so everybody should know that it's a fact, that it was, that's the halacha. Here too, he wanted to publicize and say, Veimelach Ba'apeh Hamzaklu Bekonah. However, the halacha is Hamzaklu Bekonah. So now that we say Hamzak Luba Lekana, so I saw that the Mepharshim explained, with this we could understand Yaakov Avinu. We find that Yaakov Avinu wanted to treat Yosef's family special. And he wanted to give the Bechorah to Yosef, and that's why he said, Menashe V'Ephraim Keruvei M'Shimon Yili. The question is, why did he pick out Menashe V'Ephraim? Yosef had other children. And the Pasuk says, Melarata Shalarata Achreim, Hashem Acheyem Yikaru Benachlosam. Say the Rishonim, because here was saying that he was only interested. They were Ubrim. They weren't yet born. And our Gemara is teaching us Hamzakel Uber is like Kana. So he was only able to make a kinyan from Nashon Ephraim, not for the other children. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that even if we're saying that Hamzakel Uber is Kana, even though the Gemara just said it's not Kana, but according to the opinion that holds it's Kana, the woman has to be at least pregnant, that it should be Hamazak Luber. Not only does the woman have to be pregnant, but that many Rishonim suggest that she has to be already past 40 days pregnant, because then you could say that with the couple, with the fact that it's Benoy, that it's a son, then it's Kana. But if she's not pregnant, or she's not even noticed to be pregnant, because she's not yet pregnant for 40 days, it will not be a valid kinyan. The Chassam Sofer says a beautiful word, a pidrush. He says, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us all sorts of great things will happen to Klal Yisrael when Mashiach comes. But the question is, it's a mezakel uber. Mashiach hasn't yet come. And why, therefore, is it a valid, why are those statements considered halakhically valid? So one pshat is, the Chassam Sofer says, Hamzakel Uber is because we don't control if this Uber will ever be born, will be viably born. By Kadosh Baruch Hu, there is no problem. Whatever he wants to do, he can do. Furthermore, we learned at the beginning of our shir, if you say Lichesha Teled, then it's Kana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees us that Lichesha Teled, that this will happen. And therefore, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guarantees us that it will happen, it falls onto the category of Lichesha Teled. And furthermore, he says, our Gemara just said that it's different when it's your son, because Dato Shlodim Kroive Eitz Levanoi. We are our Kadosh Baruch Hu's children, and since we are Kadosh Baruch Hu's children, even though we're only Ubrim, it's Kaina. Says the Gemara, Hu Damu Advisa. If somebody said to his wife, Nichsi Lebanei Dehav Lemanoch, my belongings should be given to my sons, who I will have from you. Osbrek Shisha, so an older son from a different wife came. Amlai, who gavra might have a lay? And what about me? Amo zil kenei kechad mibra. So he said, of course, you should also get like one of my children. So says the Gemara, Hanachvadi, the other children that the wife was only pregnant, like Kani, it's not a valid kinyan. As we just learned, that Kati Lasnu, and a Mazakal Uber Lekana. Hai is Lechalk Latayi Babnok Benai. The question is, does this son, who is from the first wife, that he is in existence, does he get a share together with the sons who are born from the second wife? Or less Lechalk Latayi Babnok Benai. Or do we say, since the other sons haven't been born, and therefore they can't be valid recipients of this kinyan, that will affect his ability too. As the Rishayim explain, Mepharshim explain, the question to look at is, do we look at the giver or do we look at the receiver? If we look at it from the perspective of the receiver, since there are receivers here that cannot receive, the unborn sons, that will affect the ability of the born son to receive. But if we look at it from the perspective of the father, who's the one that's giving the gift, so even though he's able to give gifts, so to whomever he's able to give a gift, it will be valid, and to whomever he's unable to give a gift, it will not be valid. Says the Gemara of Avin, Rav Mashi Bereva, Yim Adami Isla, Chalak Tulaya, Bernot Menayu, that it is a valid gift. Rav Avu, Rav Chanina, Rav Papi, Rav Yitzchak, Nafka, the Amri, less that he doesn't receive a gift. Since the other children aren't able to receive the gift, it also affects his ability to receive a gift. And we will discuss this sugya more in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow's shiur.